Please come in if you want to listen to the teachings. You're welcome to come in. There's plenty of space right in front. There's also one empty cushion right next to me. Please enter. If you prefer, you can of course also stay outside, no problems. Okay, so let's start with questions and answers. Do you have any questions? Please just raise your hand, ask whatever you want to ask. We have one question back there. No? Could you please say something more about emotions? What about emotions? Can you specify that? I can't really repeat now everything I've heard about emotions. Everybody's laughing at my Simone saying, I'm sorry, I have arthritis. I have to sit on my seat. Do you have any empty chairs outside? Can anyone bring in a chair? We're talking about destructive emotions, so afflictions that are only shortly mentioned this morning. Is that what you're referring to, or emotions in general? Yes, I was referring to destructive emotions, so afflictions. Nyomo. Oh, great. Actually, that is one of the main topics of this text, and therefore later on we'll discuss about destructive emotions, afflictions in great detail. Okay? Any other questions? Now, I didn't understand this morning you talked about renunciation and about definite immersion. Is that the same type of mind we're talking about, an aspiration? And you said that one of the three principal aspects of the path is renunciation. I've also heard sila. So I'd like to know whether sila refers to renunciation or that's something else. Do we have any Sanskrit experts here? Sila is tsultrum in Tibetan. I'm sorry, Fabrizio, I apologize. As you said, I don't speak Sanskrit and understand Sanskrit. So sila is tsultrum and therefore morality or ethics. Wonderful. This question is really right on the point, right to the point, because this is the topic we're going to discuss next. Rinpoche says that he's very pleased to see Suor Luce. He already met her when His Holiness was here, and so he's very, very pleased to meet her again. And Suor Luce, the Catholic nun, she was also following part of our basic program, and Rinpoche is very pleased to see such open-minded practitioners of other traditions.
Per cui eravamo arrivati a quell'ultimo passaggio, farò del mio meglio per esporre questo significato, che vuol dire anche faremo del nostro meglio per ascoltarlo nel migliore dei
modi. And so this morning we finished with the line that said I will explain this text, and then we continue with the text that says, listen with a clear mind, you who are unattached to the pleasures of existence and strive to render your freedoms and endowments meaningful, you fortunate ones who rely on the path that pleases the conqueror. So, generally speaking, we can say that our mind is always going after sense pleasures. It's like we're completely in love with pleasures, and therefore that's the only thing we really seek all the time. That is also why we're so distracted all the time. And that is why nothing truly meaningful happens in our life. We just keep on going after the pleasures. We're completely obsessed with our search for pleasure. And that is why all our activities are completely mundane. And of course, this does not bring peace of mind and also is not working as an antidote to suffering.
Quando per cui se il fatto di essere costantemente esclusivamente
constantly engaged in mundane activities, seeking sense pleasures, this just brings a whole lot of problems, a whole lot of suffering. There is a great lama, Kuntang Tenpe Drome, who in one of his texts called Remembering Impermanence, said, whatever mundane activity you're engaged in, that activity will never end. There's no end to all your mundane activities until you decide, basta, it's enough. Then mundane activities can come to an end. Otherwise, there'll be absolutely no end to your worldly activities. As soon as you finish one task, another one will arise. First, you'll look for a house. You won't be able to find the right one. Then you'll find the house, but you won't have enough money, so you'll have to make a lot of money. In order to make money, you'll have to do a bunch of other things and so forth, and therefore there will be no end to your activities. So just looking for a house and finding a house does not mean that your activity is finished. There's a whole bunch of other things you will have to do. It's a little bit like waves in the ocean coming one after another. There's no end to the waves in the ocean. That's the same with worldly activities of our life, unless you consciously decide to put a full stop to that. you will not find any end, no satisfaction either in these worldly activities. So Rinpoche gave an example of a house, a car, and so forth.
In effetti non è forse vero che tutto il mondo funziona in questa direzione.
Isn't it true that the whole world works in that way? One problem after another, since we were children, one activity after another, one problem after another. When we are small, we have to learn, we need to get education. So we go to school in order to be able to find a job. Then it's difficult to get into, I don't know, university you wish to get into. Having finished your education, you again have problems finding a job and so forth. And then you seek more richness, more money, and so forth. And at some point, maybe you'll have a very flourishing career, and maybe you'll become an important, famous person, and then you have to protect the fame and the wealth you've created. And so there is no end to that. There is no end unless you strive to render your freedoms and endowments meaningful, as our text says. Now, right now, we have this precious human rebirth with freedoms and endowments. However, it is not truly meaningful if we just live an ordinary life as described so far. Isn't it so? Isn't it true? We have this precious human rebirth, and yet we are not truly making it meaningful. We're just going after sense pleasures and worldly activities.
Per cui adesso non voglio elaborare tutti noi, ciascuno di noi ha il proprio scopo. E quello è.
You know, we all have goals. You have aims, and nobody can tell you anything about that. You know, even Buddhas can't tell you what to do. You will all live your life the way you decide to live them. You will strive to achieve the goals you set for yourself. Nobody can say anything about that, much less myself. However, you know, I'm here, I'm telling about destructive emotions, I will tell you how to abandon them and so forth. That's all very nice. But if you're here, you know, and thinking, oh, this is nice, but then as soon as I get off my throne, I completely disregard what I've just taught and do whatever I want, then of course this doesn't work. And this goes, this same goes for you too. It seems that most of us understand the meaning of the teachings. We even agree with the teachings, and yet for some reason we are not abandoning the pursuit of worldly activities and worldly goals.
Per cui noi in realtà il lavoro che bisogna fare è quello di
So in reality, what we have to do is not just investigate and see the disadvantages of afflictive emotions, of afflictions, destructive emotions, but rather we should also strive to give rise to qualities. So the qualities of the mind, obviously. So when you talk about renunciation, or technically speaking, definite emergence, which really means wanting to go out of samsara, to be liberated from samsara. In Tibetan, it means nye jung. So jung means coming out, and nye, definitive. The great master, Kedrupa Rinpoche, he said that in reality, what Dharma practitioners have, or the so-called Dharma practitioners have, is not genuine renunciation. We're really kind of just a little bit tired with samsara, so we lament, we complain about samsara, but we have not truly cultivated the mind of renunciation. You know, we start complaining, oh, there are all these problems, I don't want these problems anymore, so I want to get out of samsara. But it's not genuine renunciation. Then you also have another term in Tibetan that kind of describes, let's say, a very claustrophobic mind, closed mind of being fed up with something in a way. So you reject a certain reality because you're fed up with it. But this is not genuine renunciation. That's why it's so difficult for us to abandon the pursuit of worldly activities. So we have to investigate where our problems come from. We have to investigate how they arise, where they come from. And we'll see that all of our problems, negative emotions, have to do with our conception of self. So there's this I, me, mind that's always somewhere there. It's always kind of like a source of all our problems, all our conflicts, all our destructive emotions. If we take, for example, a conflict, or even just a very vivid discussion, or in reality, anything that has to do with attachment, jealousy, anger, and so forth. But let's say there's a conflict. If we investigate why we now have a problem with another person, if we start analyzing where the conflict comes from, we'll come to conclude that, well, the other person said this terrible thing that I can't put up with, that I can't accept. So you've rejected something, you've had aversion for something, and that's how the whole conflict was born. But that aversion actually comes from your sense of I that is so much more precious than the other person for you. And so since this I, this self, is so important, so precious, it's so important what it thinks and what it feels, and therefore if that I cannot put up with something the other person has said, then you reject that. And this shows you how precious for you is this self, how important for you is this I, me. And you'll see, if you truly investigate where your problems come from, you will see that in the end, everything goes back to your conception or misconception of self, of I.
Chatan
Per cui questo tipo di questo tipo di pensieri, di mentalità, quando parliamo delle emozioni,
this type of thoughts or also called three poisons,
so
negative thoughts, negative emotions, afflicted emotions, the three poisons. If we investigate, what supports them is this wrong, distorted conception of our identity, of I, of a self. So before we even start considering ourselves a man, a woman, a Buddhist, and so forth, if we even take a step back and further investigate this distorted identity, we really have to raise some important questions. So even before starting to think, oh, I'm a Dharma practitioner, so I want to practice and so forth, we have to take some steps back. So, okay, we come to a conclusion that we don't want all of this suffering, but what can I do about it? I understand that all these problems come from this grasping at self and self-cherishing. And so this is something we have to investigate, we really have to understand. So having understood that all these worldly activities are not bringing us the happiness we seek, now we have to see where they come from. And on this path, so as we investigate that, as we try to investigate how we can abandon the causes of our suffering, we will find some antidotes to that, which is the cause of our problems, namely the practice of ethics, of Shila.
Ed ecco che per cui ci sono come tre passaggi graduali. Inizialmente
bisogna three gradual steps. First, we have to act upon very coarse levels of our destructive emotions, hatred, attachment, and so forth. And start abandoning the activities that are the consequence of these coarse, destructive emotions. Therefore, we try to pacify these coarse
l'addestramento superiore della moralità.
Destructive emotions through the practice of morality, through the practice of ethics, therefore by training our body and speech. Now, of course, at some point we'll realize that if our mind is not pacified, then what happens? These destructive emotions will just keep popping up. And so at that point, we'll try to pacify the mind by cultivating shine, calm abiding. So we'll try to stabilize the mind by cultivating concentration. And then, also, the practice of shine, of concentration, is not something that will definitely pacify your mind. So while you're practicing shine, your destructive emotions are kind of hidden, so they're not manifest. However, when you're not in shine, when you're not concentrated, then they arise again. And therefore, in order to solve your problem, truly, you need wisdom. Wisdom which is much more subtle than just pacification of the mind. So wisdom that seeks the ultimate meaning, the ultimate nature of all things, and it is that wisdom that can truly end your suffering. So these are the three gradual steps, or the three, also called the three principal aspects of the path here.
I'm saying
Fabrizio's translation is very active. He's very active. He's rendering his speech in a rather slow, sleepy manner.
Per cui questi sono i tre addestramenti superiori.
So, I'd say these are the three superior trainings, the training in morality, concentration, and wisdom. And these are really important regardless of your religion. Whether you're practitioners or not, if you're an intelligent person and you investigate things and you really want to be happy, you don't want to suffer, you want to make your life meaningful, if these three superior trainings are not there, it's going to be very difficult to make life truly meaningful.
Let's bring the topic on the table. Let's bring the topic on the table.
per esempio, nell'ambito familiare ci sono sempre dei problemi da affrontare.
For example, we look at our family lives. There's always some problems we have to solve, some problems we have to face. And often, what happens is that the father is stressed out, mother is stressed out, also sons and daughters are all stressed out. And so in that kind of environment, no matter how much you wish to be happy, you will never be happy. Why? Because the minds of these family members were not trained in patience, for example. If one of them was patient and kind of cool, then also the minds of others would cool down. Sometimes when there's very heated debate, very heated conflict, you know, we have to be patient sometimes and wait for the other person to calm down. And then when everybody's a little bit more calm, we can sit down, bring topic on the table, as Rinpoche said, and then we try to find solutions. You know, if we want to have peace within our family, then that's what we have to do. We have to cultivate patience. Otherwise, there's no way to find happiness. And so, in this way, in the end, we will be able to find solutions. So, for example, family members can decide, okay, I'm going to try to avoid doing the actions that irritate you or that you don't like and so forth. And the other person will also say, oh, okay, I'll also try to behave better. And in this way, together, we can build peace and happiness within a family. And actually, this is the practice of morality. This is the practice of ethics.
Per cui questo è il modo, diciamo, molto pratico, immediato di unire il significato della
pratica. So this is how we can immediately put the so-called ethics or morality in practice in our daily lives. Then the second of the three hard trainings is concentration. When it comes to concentration, we should think in the following way. Okay, even if I promise my partner that from now on I will no longer do that thing that irritates you so much, I know that I will fall back into that trap for sure because I have strong habit, and therefore I know I have to use memory to keep reminding myself of the situation, to keep reminding myself that, okay, if I do or say this or that, then the other person will be unhappy, will suffer, and so forth. So in this way, we train our mind and make it more and more stable. And this is the actual practice of concentration already.
Yama yora tangpo chungsa dikne ni dine reishas. He is asking me, what do you say? So I say, no repetition.
Furthermore, when it comes to the third higher training, also the most important one, that of wisdom, and again, we try to put it to practice in our daily life, within our family daily life, we have to observe that normally all conflicts arise due to aversion, due to us feeling aversion towards something that is said or done. And so what we should do is focus within. So instead of looking outside and identifying problems within others, we should go within and investigate why we reject something, why we don't like something or someone or some words and so forth, and see how this whole negative chain reaction is born. And you will see in the end that all of this is due to the way your mind works, the way you think. The habitual patterns of the mind have led to that aversion. And so in the end, you'll find out that the problems come from your mind. And this is wisdom. And I can assure you that if you do this, you know, I'm willing to sign a paper that says if you do that, then you'll no longer have any problems within your family. You won't have problems of that type within your family. So what are we actually talking about here? We're talking about meaningful life or giving meaning to our life. What kind of life is meaningful? What kind of life will lead to supreme results? And I believe that understanding the three higher trainings is of extreme importance, and it's kind of beyond any religion. You see, it's impossible to think that everybody in this world will become a Dharma practitioner, will become religious, because we're all different. We all have very different predispositions, our mindsets are different, our intelligence levels are different, our skills are different, and so forth. So we are all different from that point of view. However, I believe that these three higher trainings, so ethics or morality, concentration, wisdom, are something that is common to the whole human kind. It can be of benefit to the whole human kind. If we were all to put these three higher trainings in practice, then we'll have a happy, peaceful, meaningful family life. And this well-being of a family will spread to, you know, the other people in their village, in their apartment, block flats, in their country, in their nation, and so forth. So this well-being will just spread. And in that way, whatever we do in our life, even within our small family, becomes extremely meaningful because it will have long-term and very wide repercussions in the world outside. And so that is why I really believe that these three higher trainings are of great benefit for everyone. If we practice them, we benefit everyone.
Per cui questi tre aspetti una cosa che mi sono dimenticato.
One thing I forgot to say earlier that Trimpeche said is that this practice of morality or ethics does not necessarily mean to take vows, make solemn promises in front of a teacher and so forth. No, everyone can train in ethics, everyone can train in concentration and wisdom. Our text is called the three principal aspects of the path, namely the mind of renunciation, bodhicitta, and emptiness, that kind of include the meaning of all the teachings of all the Buddhas. It is, as the first line says, it is the path, praise, but conquerors, holy children and the passage for the fortunate ones who desire liberation. So we are here now. Some of us are practitioners. We study Dharma texts. We try to understand them. And probably many of us also understand the importance of the meaning of these texts. And so having understood how important these teachings are, we'll also become aware how meaningless almost all of our daily activities are compared to the teachings that can lead us on the path that will bring genuine, true benefit for ourselves and others. And it is on the basis of that that this strong mind of renunciation will arise. What we often lack is just effort that will take us in the right direction. So normally we understand what the right path is, but we kind of lack this enthusiasm, the great energy, the joyous effort. We said this morning that the so-called joyous effort is the joy in virtue. When we truly understand the benefits and disadvantages of our activities, when we truly, genuinely realize the benefits of virtuous deeds, disadvantages of non-virtuous deeds, then joyous effort will kind of arise almost spontaneously. Until we truly realize disadvantages of samsara, disadvantages of non-virtues and so forth, it's almost impossible for this joyous effort to truly arise. We'll just keep on struggling. When it comes to the analysis of advantages and disadvantages, can you explain a little bit better what is this analysis about? Is this a mental procedure? Or what exactly is this analysis of advantages and disadvantages?
Mm-hmm.
차샤 습산라치 빼나 네 남셔 준도 땅 아라랑기 빼래 제 생각은 지금 그선 일단 이만시에 폰을 가고도 봐 이제 폰 레지스터 레벨까 위해 니어도 보고 요면 니에 디아 타주 요하겠다 아니 이나야 사바지 레온도 전부 콘주 에버트라이스 하대 지금도 와 다 딜레야
배유
잡아 요하래 시그레 아니 디 아니 가서 우리 스피커도 야지 요하래 시그레 아니 디네 디 디스플레이도 야지 요하래 시그레 세운도 바로 지네 아주 레벨 투도 왔어 고 디나 신체제 단지 브랜드와 시장 디나 신체 다 포지티브 처리야 샘플 파 주
Allora, come ho spiegato precedentemente, il contesto
As I explained earlier, the context here is looking at disadvantages of afflictions and investigating advantages of the three higher trainings. But as I said, it's really important to use our intelligence at all times. You know, we have to be logical. If, for example, there is a problem within a family because the father is very stressed out, very nervous, and it's very difficult to talk to him. It's very difficult to explain anything to him because he's so nervous. Then, of course, you can't just go and talk to him and expect that, you know, things will change. But what you can do, if you know that your father likes to have a little glass of wine here and there, maybe you can, you know, kindly offer him a glass of wine. You know, he might be pleased. He might even smile. You know, his mind will be already a little bit less negative, a little more positive, a little bit more pacified. And then maybe slowly you can raise some difficult issues. So you have to be skillful. You have to use your intelligence. So this is how we should go about things. In, you know, in practice, in a very practical, we have to be practical and wise. Now, those of us who heard many teachings have heard many times that we've been around since beginless time, and also, therefore, our habits have been with us since beginless time, and therefore, we cannot expect ourselves or others to change overnight, and therefore, we have to be intelligent also in that respect. We should not have non-realistic expectations. Now, our mind keeps looking for benefits, for advantages. So that's why I said you should investigate the advantages. Because actually, why are we going out and buying new phones every year or even every month and so forth? Because when you see advertisements for the new phone, they explain there all the benefits of that new phone. So although you might not need a new phone, since you've heard about all these benefits of a new phone, you go out and buy it. So it's a little bit the same when it comes to all these other things, when it comes to afflictive emotions, when it comes to antidotes to them and so forth. For example, when you're experiencing a strong attachment, thinking that something is very permanent, will be there forever, then of course you should think about impermanence. But of course you can't just do that analysis if you haven't studied, if you don't know anything. So you have to study first. You first have to understand what is impermanence, what does it mean, what I should analyze, what are the signs that my thinking, my understanding is correct, and so forth. There's a lot of knowledge that has to be acquired. You have to use your your intelligence to study first, then you can contemplate, then you can meditate. So it will take some time. Therefore, when we talk about analyzing, investigating advantages and disadvantages, we are not talking about something that you will do now. First, you have to study, you have to understand, and so forth. Then you contemplate, then you meditate. Does that make any sense? No, I prefer to feel rather than study, rather than learning. What you're saying? That's good. That's much better. Direct experience is of extreme importance. In fact, when it comes to Buddha's teachings, direct experience is the most important thing. So one studies and practices in order to gain direct experience. There are three types of phenomena. There are manifest phenomena, slightly hidden phenomena, and completely hidden phenomena. Manifest phenomena are those we can perceive directly, that we can directly experience. But also, when it comes to other things, we start studying about the mind of enlightenment, but unless you experience directly the mind of enlightenment, you don't have that realization. So, in fact, in order to gain realizations, you need direct perception of things. But we should also be very cautious. Rinpoche continues in English.
Teaching you how to make a pasta. Is that fair? No fair? I will try my best. So, in order to make a good pasta, and you have your grandmother's recipe, a very, very good one. But first of all, you have to find the recipe. Without recipe, you feel like, oh, I can make it. Never you can make it. But then you should be very careful how much, cheese?
Parmesan
cheese, how much? And how many, or how much olive oil? And then how to boil, timing should be very accurate, isn't it? So then all this, after this process, you make fantastic pasta at all. And then, the most important, you have to make a decision on your tongue. This is the most incense part, right? Most important, yourself making decision. You mean people say, okay, this is just so, but you eat it, you feel like, oh, this is really good one. This is your own judgment to make. So same thing. So before making judgment, you have to follow all this recipe. Like a
per cui è vero quello che hai detto, ma bisogna stare molto attenti.
So, repeat, it's true what you said. However, we have to be very careful. In the process, and then in the end, we might have direct experience. So it might be a little bit weird that I come here to talk about how to make pasta, but I'd like to take this as an example. So, for example, if I want to make pasta just the way my grandmother used to do it, I'll need the recipe, right? For sure, if we've just tasted grandma's pasta but never saw recipe, we won't be able to make that pasta. And so we need a recipe that tells us for how long we need to boil pasta, how much salt, how much olive oil, and so forth. So we need very precise details on how to prepare that pasta. But then the final judgment, again, is your direct experience of that pasta. So you have to taste it. And when you taste it, you have the direct experience. And then you can say whether that pasta is or is not exactly the way your grandma used to make it. So maybe somebody will disagree, but it doesn't matter. You need your own direct experience. So in order to get to that point where you have direct experience, in order to get there, there are many other steps that need to be taken. You need a recipe, you have to follow that recipe, you have to know all the procedures that lead to that result. So when it comes to practice, it is exactly the same. You cannot have direct experience unless you know how to get there, unless you know the path that leads there. Do you like my pasta?
So if you noticed, I'm a very bad pasta maker.
But you continue in English?
Allora vi piace la mia pasta? Avete notato che in realtà non so proprio fare la pasta perché è la prima cosa che ho metto il formaggio prima di tutto.
Ok, so
sono riuscito a rispondere alla tua domanda.
Did I answer your question? Your question about morality, about ethics. So you asked about renunciation and morality. Have I explained that? Well, I have a feeling, the student says, I have a feeling that they're kind of the same, or at least very similar. Oh, so things are not yet clear.
Allora, la mente che vuole definitivamente emergere.
So the mind of definite emergence or renunciation, so emergence from what? From samsara, wanting to put an end to conditioned existence. So definite emergence is a certainty, is a mind that is certain. Before that, we have this previous phase of getting kind of fed up, getting tired of cyclic existence. So that has to happen first. And then we, in this framework, we also have to keep on using our intelligence that investigate that all the activities that are the result of mental afflictions are the ones that keep us trapped in cyclic existence, and therefore they keep us trapped in the cycle of suffering. And therefore, this will lead us to understand that we need to put an end to the causes that lead to the experience of suffering. In order to do that, having understood that we have to do that, we decide that we are going to abandon non-virtues. And so this is the practice of ethics. The abandonment mainly of the non-virtues of body and speech. So, of course, in order to let go of suffering, in order to overcome suffering, we have to pacify our mind. But in order to pacify our mind, we first have to pacify our body and speech. And now, even this is not yet a mind of definite immersion. In order So first we have to get there, make that mind very stable by the use of concentration, and then add wisdom on top of that, and then that is really the formula to get out of samsara.
So
Massimo is using a technical term. That's all, I'm sorry, Fabrizio said in Italian. I can't really hear people who speak without the microphone. But whatever he said is exactly so. So if you have the mind of definite emergence, you are also practicing morality. If you practice morality, you don't necessarily have the mind of renunciation, the mind of definite emergence. That is why when we talk about the path, where does the path start? The path starts once we have generated the mind of definite emergence. So the moment that mind is generated, that is the first moment of the path. Then we are really on the path.
È un po' come guidare, fare tanti chilometri in macchina quando la strada è sconnessa, quando la strada è completamente libera.
You know, it is a little bit like driving for many, many hours on a highway or on a small country road. So if there's no traffic, the highway is free and very straight, then you will travel fast without any problems. If not, if you have to drive on Indian roads for many, many hours, you'll get tired very fast. So, for example, when we take refuge, then we take first vows, then tantric vows. Is this also part of the generation of the mind of renunciation, the mind of definite emergence, or not?
Mm-hmm. giunti sempre da ci come duello ancora ancora chi ci anni in anni di ci duello
ancora
non ho mai
in giugno Tele ya tıbundu çünkü sebebi doba tuzuru. Tene sana doba var. Ben düzü sana lo ko jubat öpti yungu tabi. Ta çügüm tangurla evli ya da nincumu sinindi kubu yungu. Doba şubalı da nincumu kiyaklaş da kaya yungu var. Ta yina ya doba di nebar do kalye kyab, kalye di kyabçi ta di kasuru sun noba var. Gashin köşin hani sunyarla hani nincumda nincum kiyab demeyene
So,
in theory, yes, in theory, it should be there. However, when we talk about different levels of training, so if we talk about the training of the the practitioners of the lower vehicle, of bodhisattvas, and so forth, just by taking the vows, of course, we have not necessarily yet generated the amount of renunciation. Also, if we practice on any of these levels, any of the three levels, still not necessarily we have generated the mind renunciation. However, in order for us to really set on the path, we need that mind, otherwise it's not going to work.
Allora facciamo adesso le 4:30, facciamo precisamente mezz'ora di
recreazione. 30 minute break before we continue. So please come back at 5. Sangye Shindong Mi Te O.